You're listening to the King's Church Ringwood podcast. For more information, please visit www.kingschurchringwood.co.uk.
I'm going to ask Andre to come and get the worship baskets, but before he does, should we pray? Should we pray for the offering? Just for God to multiply it. Now, if you don't know, we have giving envelopes at the back, so if you are giving cash and you're a British taxpayer, we would really appreciate it if you did put it in the envelopes. And Mark, yes, you would like to have tax for that. We can get gift aid back on that. It just really helps the church as we get 20p for every pound from the government. It's such a blessing to us. So if you are a British taxpayer, please put any offering in the envelopes which are at the back of the room there. You can find that there. Let's pray. Yeah, Father God, I just thank you that you multiply everything. Lord God, you are the God who provides. You are the God who multiplies. And Lord God, we thank you for the grace of Jesus, the grace of giving. You gave your Son to us. You are so generous to us that you gave your only Son to die for us, to forgive our sins. And Lord God, we just pray now for the grace of giving to be on us. Lord God, that you would multiply everything that goes in that basket, that you would provide for the running of this church and for your kingdom to go to Ringwood and beyond, for your name to be made known in Ringwood and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to have Ian's going to come and preach, which is exciting. I'd like to come up, Ian, if you can. And we'll pray for you.
Are we on?
Are you on?
Are we on?
Yep, you're on.
We're on.
Okay, let's just reach our hands and pray for Ian as he... Father God, I just thank you for this man. Thank you for this servant. Lord, I thank you that you're going to just bless him as he blesses us, Lord God, today. Father, we thank you that none of us do this in our own strengths. We all need your Spirit. Yeah. So we pray, Lord, for your Spirit, a fresh anointing upon Ian as he brings your word, fresh anointing upon us as we hear your word. May we have ears that are willing to hear this morning. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I feel like I'm one of the band stood here. I'm just going to move over a bit. Well, I tell you, it doesn't get any easier standing here. But there we go. I thank God that he is with me. So, this morning we're going to be taking our next trip into the book of Acts. If we just recap quickly. So far, we've had John Hills preach on... We will be his witnesses. Then we heard from Mark and his message about us being individuals and being exactly where God wants us to be. That we have been put in this place for a reason. Then last week we heard from Rob about the day of Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit had been promised that he was a person and that he had been poured out among his people. Now, I have been given an absolute gift of a scripture to preach from this morning. I don't know why Rob let me have it, but I'm so glad he did. This is a wonderful passage. So, if we can open up our Bibles this morning to Acts 2 and verses 42 to 47. And it reads, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Yeah, Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is living and active, Lord, and every time we read it, we can glean something new from it. So, Lord, I pray as we open up your word this morning that you'll speak to each one of us individually, Lord, and corporately as well. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So, this message this morning comes with the title of Togetherness, Tenderness, and Our Tremendously Faithful God. See, I needed three T's. Rob had three P's last week, so I had three T's, and Faithful God didn't really have one, so I went for Tremendously. So, let's put a bit of context around our passage. The book of Acts is written by Luke, and Acts is considered to be the continuation of Luke's gospel, as the story just continues on. Acts is considered to be the connecting link between the four gospels and the letters. Now, the book of Acts has got some serious themes in it. And I know that as we look into Acts over the coming weeks, we'll be exploring many of them. But for example, we've got church beginnings, the power of the Holy Spirit, early church growth, to be witnesses, and also we see opposition to the Christian faith in early Acts. Well, and forever on, actually. Acts is a story of how the Christian faith was founded. It was founded by people having faith in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The church began through the work of the Holy Spirit's power. He was the promised guide and counselor that was sent by God to empower his people, as we heard from Rob last week. The church that we read about in Acts was completely dynamic. When the Holy Spirit moved, there was great growth. Just before our passage, in the verse before, it says that 3,000 people came to faith. Now that's phenomenal. The Holy Spirit helped and enabled them to witness, to teach, and to share their faith. We see Christians being punished and beaten and sometimes martyred for their faith in Jesus. But the opposition that they faced became a catalyst for the church to grow more and more and to take more steps against those that oppose the faith. So, now we've got a bit of the bones there. Let's put a bit of meat around the passage. So my first point this morning is that it's all about togetherness. Now, I want to start by looking at our passage and the very first word. It's a very simple word, and it is they. In this passage alone, Luke uses the word they no less than three times. Now, I was taught on Foundations that whenever you see a repeated word in a passage, it's there for a reason, and we should take notice. In this passage, you will also see that the word together is also repeated three times. In fact, Luke uses words to describe a group or collective of people 11 times in our passage alone. So I think it's very safe to say that through reading the words of Luke, we've got to take the fact that church is something that we do together. Church is not something that we can do on our own. I mean, I would look really daft if it was just me here this morning. I'd be talking to myself. There wouldn't be so much joy, as my singing isn't half as good as these guys. Now, when I think of Christians, I find the analogy of a herd of sheep quite helpful. When you're in the herd and close to the shepherd, you're at your safest. You have the benefit of the warmth of the others as you herd together. The shepherd can keep a close eye on you and will be there to protect you. You get the benefit of having a shepherd taking you into new places to feed and to enable healthy growth. When you distance yourself from the herd, you can become very isolated very quickly. You can find yourself in danger, distance from your family, distance from your shepherd, and more open to attack from wild animals. How true is this of us as individuals? When we distance ourselves from the church, we put ourselves in a compromising position. It's so easy to be tempted by the things of this world and to fall away from the life that we've been called to and chosen for. Now, when you look at the second word on our passage, we come across devoted. Now, devoted is a really strong, emotive word. It shows a real strength of feeling and determination. Now, as you know from my previous sermons, I'm a lover of the dictionary. And when you look up devoted in the dictionary, you get words alongside it like dedicated, committed, set aside, and given. Now, once again, I think Luke's trying to make a point here. By using such strong language, he's making a point that actually we need to be devoted, that we need to set ourselves aside for the church. So I've had to ask myself the question of, am I devoted to the church? Have I set myself apart for the work of the church? Am I dedicated to every work that is going on and to being part of this wonderful community? You see, it is God's very plan that we are to be part of a church, part of the body. And we read this in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 18. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just where he wanted them to be. We are all to be part of the body. Everyone has a place. There is room for everyone. We can all belong to the body. Now, when you are part of the body, you get the full benefits that come along with it. I like to liken it to a health club. You get to use all of their facilities. The spa, the gym. Yeah, I don't use that. And you may also get your own personal trainer. You see, we have all the benefits of the body when we are part of a church. We get fed. We get spiritual exercise. We can find peace here and joy. And Jesus is our great physician and trains us in the path of righteousness. The early church here devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. As a church, we need to be committed to do all of these things. We need to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, whether that be listening to preachers here at church. For our young people, that may also be listening to the teaching at New Day. And for us, that may also be being committed to going to West Point and catching the vision of our apostles and getting on board with the commission vision to see thousands of lives changed through hundreds of churches in tens of nations. I think that is one heck of a vision and one great, great thing to strive for and to go after. So we need to be devoted to the breaking of bread and to the Lord's Supper. Now the Lord's Supper is so important to us. And Luke was really making a point of this as well, because in our passage, he says it twice. Whenever it's repeated, remember, we need to take it seriously. It is one way that we remember Christ and what he has done for us. It is one of Jesus' last instructions to us, that we would take it in remembrance of him. Not only do we remember him through it, it's a great opportunity for us to share community with one another, to celebrate life together. I think it's important that we do it, that we make every effort to make it to communion when we have it here on a Sunday. And in your home groups, make every effort to take communion there as well, because it is one of Jesus' last instructions. It is one way that we can find brotherly love as well. Now, the early church, they also devoted themselves to prayer. Now, this one can be a real challenge for all of us. As a church, we have lots of meetings. people can be on many rotas. I know many of you are on all the rotas. I understand that as a church member, it can be difficult to make it to all of the meetings. And I know that when things get busy, quite often the prayer meeting can be the first thing that I stop going to. Now, we have got so many opportunities to get together and pray. May I implore you to make them a priority? To pray together is of so much importance, as whenever two or three are gathered, God also resides. When we think back to all of the great moves of God in history, they have all come out of a great time of sustained prayer. We think of the revivals of Wesley. They all came out of a dedication to prayer, to be dedicated to pray together. When we're devoted to prayer, amazing things can happen. Mighty things can happen. Revival can happen. Healings can happen. Lives can be changed when we pray together. So may I implore you, make the prayer meetings. Us men, Saturday morning, it may be difficult, it might be our only line of the week, but make every effort. It's always worthwhile going. Sunday mornings, we get together at 8:30 here. Please come join us. We had a wonderful prayer meeting this morning before we started setting up for church. It is a great opportunity to get together, to all search after the heart of God. I think it is of so much importance. Now, verse 43 of our passage says that everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. Now, I've had to ask myself the question of, am I committed to prayer and to expect to see these signs and wonders in our meetings? You see, the same power that was given to the apostles by Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit has also been given to us. And we can read that in John 14, 12 to 14, where it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now, as believers, we have got an immense privilege to be able to call on Jesus, to be able to call on his name. And when we do, he says he will do anything when we call on him in his name, as long as it's according to his will. The great signs and wonders that have been displayed through the early church, through the revivals, through our history, through miracles that we see today, are all available to us in our church, in our meetings. It's all available to us. You know, when we come together to pray, to worship, when we enjoy time together, when we pray together, worship together, and seek God together, mighty things can happen. That same spirit that Jesus had poured out upon his disciples at Pentecost is available to us. I don't think that's something to be taken for granted. So let's take notice of this and actually search after God. And search after the wonderful gifts that he's got for us, because they are there for us to attain. Now, we get to my second point of the morning. And that is, it all begins with tenderness. Now, I've got to say that very recently, me and Laura were able to experience what it may have been like to be part of the early church. You that were here a few weeks ago would have seen mine and Laura's friends Nick and Amy come in with us. They came to stay with us from Honiton. And we had some other friends from Bridport come down for the weekend as well. They stayed with friends at Fordingbridge. And collectively, the eight of us and their children spent 4 days together. And it was one heck of a weekend. We had arranged to do everything together. We ate meals together, spent time with one another. We shared everything that we had. In fact, actually, at one point, we even joked that this may have been what it was like for the early church. It was a great, great experience. Now, one of the phrases that came out of the weekend is that we had all become fridge friends. And that we all had fridge rights. Now, let me take a moment to explain why. Fridge friends are people that you love, people that you care deeply about. You would let them take what they wanted, when they wanted it. It was a no-restriction access to the goods that were within. Anyone could add to the fridge. Anyone could take from the fridge. It was a central store for all of us to share together. Now, sometimes you can feel really funny about letting people in your fridge. I understand that. You know, you can be a bit protective over the goods within it. And I know that if people looked in my fridge, they would think that I've got a serious calcium deficiency because of the amount of cheese in there. But the early church shared all that they had. They sold goods to support those in the community that had need. You see, we have got so much in common with the early church. We have all been chosen to be part of the body. Are we willing to share all that we have with those that are in need within our church community? Are we willing to allow people access to the same resources that we have? And it doesn't have to be the fridge, just putting it out there. Although everybody loves a fridge friend. We shouldn't be concerned with what people may think about us. What we should be concerned about is loving one another and loving each and every member of the church and the community beyond. You see, as a church, we quite often have this same early church experience. May I encourage you to make every effort to make it to West Point. Trevor liked me for this. West Point is an amazing event. It is a place very similar to the early church experience. We all meet together. We pray together. We eat together. It all revolves around food with Christians. Have you noticed? Just saying. Now, I find that West Point is a truly tender expression of Christian life. It is a place where we all feel accepted. We all feel loved, and it's not just about our church, it's about the wider Commission family. It is a truly tender expression. Verse 44 to 45 of our passage says, "All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need." Now, the early church was radical in the way that it did things. It valued people more than possessions. Sometimes it can be difficult among friends and family within the church. I am not naive enough to think that church life is always easy. It's not always going to be all beer and Skittles. The thing to remember, though, is to look to our similarities and not our differences. We aren't always going to like the same things. We don't all enjoy the same type of worship songs. We may all have our own preference on our favourite preacher. Please don't vote now. Just saying. But we all must remember that we have all been saved by the same gospel. We all share the same Saviour. And eventually we will all share heaven together. So let's look to our similarities and not our differences. That's what community is all about. Now, whilst preparing for the sermon, I stumbled across a section of John Stott's commentary on the book of Acts. One thing that really struck me when reading it was, they persevered in the fellowship, supporting each other and relieving the need of the poor. A spirit-filled church is a loving, caring, sharing church. Now, the word persevered really jumped out the page at me. Now, when you persevere with something, it's a struggle. It's not always easy. And they persevered in the fellowship. Now, I know that you have all persevered with me over the years. I haven't always been an easy person to be around. Did you all hear that? Did you all hear the giggle from my wife there? Shocking. To persevere is to overcome difficulties. We've got to remember that there is no such thing as a perfect church. But as with the early church, it is our responsibility to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It is our responsibility to be tender with one another, to be showing love, acceptance, compassion, care and soft-heartedness. These should all be things that we devote ourselves to. These are all things that were displayed in the early church. You see, a healthy church attracts people to God. It is our zeal for worship and our brotherly love that should attract people here. In fact, you could almost say that our brotherly love for each other should be contagious. That it should be something that people would want to be around, that they would want to be here. You see, God showed so much love and tenderness towards us when he gave his son for us. And he is our perfect example on how to live life with one another. Which brings me to my next point, that our God is tremendously faithful. So far, my sermon could sound like it's all about the church and the fellowship of believers. The church is an exclusive group of individuals. But thankfully, that is not where the story ends. Now, in the time of Jesus, there were understood to be four major religious groups within the Jewish faith. You get the Pharisees. Now, these guys were very strict. They were devout to the Jewish written law. And they were thought to have been very pretentious and thought themselves to be superior in sanctity. And secondly, you've got the Sadducees. These guys, now they denied the existence of spirits. They denied the ability to raise people from the dead, and they would not stray from tradition. You get the Essenes. Now these guys kept themselves in isolation. They were still part of in the cities, but they kept themselves apart. Just so they could stay morally pure, so they could stay on the path of righteousness. Then you had the Zealots. These guys held the same sort of belief systems as the Pharisees, but they were completely fanatical in the way that they went about things. They would use violence and nasty propaganda in their pursuit of their religious faith and political ideas. Now, with all of these groups, you would have had to have jumped through hoops to be able to join them. Imagine if our church was like this. And so many rules, and that we had so many rules to follow before we could join. Would any of us have been able to jump through so many hoops? Now, I thank God that we do not need to be like any of these other groups. The early church was so radical in the way that it did things. It turned away from all of the sacrificial laws that came from the old covenant that were imposed by the Pharisees, as they recognized that Jesus had become their living sacrifice, that he was the fulfillment of the law. They had experienced the Holy Spirit's power, whereas the Sadducees denied it. They didn't hide away in the woods or in caves, I joke, as the Essenes did. They also weren't like the Zealots. They weren't so fanatical, they weren't violent, and they wouldn't use propaganda to get their own faith across. See, I've often wondered what it would have been like to have been part of one of these groups within the Jewish faith. I'm not sure if I would have fitted the bill. So you see, they were so consumed by keeping rules and making sure that others kept the rules that I think that it would have been a joyless existence. They were not aware of what it was to live by grace and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, we've got so much to be glad about. We have been saved from having to fulfill a set of rules before we can come to God. We no longer have to spill blood as Jesus was our spotless sacrifice. It is because of the awesome work of Jesus on the cross that we are able to worship our God in complete freedom. We can know his goodness through experiencing and seeing his love worked out in our lives and in the lives of others as we share in our church community. You see, it is this love and freedom that should cause us to share the gospel. we know that we have been saved from a life of unhappiness. Free of a life of having to follow rules, actually. It is our newfound freedom because of what Jesus has done that causes us to turn away from the things of this world. It is no longer a life of rules. The more we know Jesus, the more we want to follow him and be obedient to him. Now, as you may know, me and Laura spend a lot of time in Cornwall. We absolutely love it down there. And then some of our best memories have been while we've been down there. Every so often we go to this little place called 15 at Watergate Bay. It's a little restaurant owned by Jamie Oliver. We only go there for breakfast. Because if you went there for the evening meal, you'd have to remortgage your house. The breakfast there is amazing. I always look forward to it as they cook it fresh to order and they use the freshest ingredients. I admit that it's all a bit pretentious, but the taste is sublime and the atmosphere is just awesome. We sit there and we can see the waves coming in and the surfers doing their thing. The thing is, as good as this breakfast was, how good the view was, how lovely the atmosphere was, it only lasted but a moment. Only a couple of hours later, I was hungry again. I say hours. The clouds had rolled in, and the surfers had left the water. The breakfast and experience that I had eaten and enjoyed only lasted for a very short time. Now, the things of this world, like my breakfast, for example, are nothing in comparison to the amazing life that we can have with Jesus. It is the knowledge that we can live for eternity with God that should really move us. That one day we will no longer have pain or sickness or death. And that one day we will be in paradise with the one who saved us. How much more should we hunger and thirst for God's love and faithfulness? How much more should we be desiring to be where God is and to enjoy him? If you know my story, you will know that at the depth of my heart is that I want everybody to know that Jesus brings complete freedom. That he is the only one that can satisfy our souls. I have strived after many things in this world and it's only brought me unhappiness. But I know that because of my Saviour, I have complete freedom. I have joy. I have peace. And I think as a church community, we need to use this knowledge to spur us on. To stir us into the missional work that God has called us into. A few weeks ago, Rob preached and he kept repeating the same phrase, which was, "If nothing is said, no one will hear, and if nothing is done, nothing will change." Now, we have got a great responsibility to go and to share the things that Jesus has done for us with everyone we know. You know, I know that I'm very quick to sing the praises of 15 in Cornwall in a lovely breakfast, but how much more should I be sharing Jesus? Because actually, he brings life to a fullness. The experience with God doesn't end. You don't leave hungry. You don't leave unsatisfied. When you've searched for God and his Spirit, you leave satisfied. You leave joyful. The amazing thing about all of this is that we do not have to go and share Jesus on our own. We have been given a guide and a counselor in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is the power for us to overcome any fear that we may feel. The power to overcome the fear of man that can so often hold us back from sharing the gospel. All that we need to do is serve God and devote ourselves to what he is doing. To put ourselves out there and be on the great commission that Jesus has called us to. In verse 47, our scripture, we read that the Lord added to their number daily. Now, it is by grace that people are saved. We cannot make anyone turn their lives to Jesus. That is up to the Holy Spirit to convict us in. But if we do not share the gospel, no one will hear. In John Stott's book on Acts, he says that the Holy Spirit is a missional spirit. So a spirit-filled church is a missional church. See, now what I love about this is that we do not have to wait for the Spirit to come like the early church. The Holy Spirit that came down on Pentecost has never left the church. He has been here since that day and will never leave us. The very power that saved 3,000 people at Pentecost is with us now. Just imagine what we as a church, as commission, as a movement of churches could achieve when we fully rely on the Spirit's power, when we seek Him together. You see, our God is a very faithful God. He promises never to leave us or forsake us. He goes before us in all situations. He has plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. What have we got to lose? So, we get to that part of the morning where we get the so what's. So what do I do with the message I've just heard? When we look at my first point of togetherness, are we actively making a point of being together? Now, I don't mean just on a Sunday morning or on our midweek meetings. Are we making an effort to invite people into our homes? Into our fridges, maybe? We are a community of believers. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family together. See, when we distance ourselves from the body, I think we are really missing out. We may even miss out on what God has got for us. In Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur each other on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." You see, I feel that togetherness is one of the keys of moving things forward as a church. In Proverbs 27, we read, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." See, when we meet together, we put ourselves in a position where we can grow. We find support through the hard times and people to celebrate with through the good times. So I implore you, make every effort to make it a priority to look out for one another. If you see someone that is lonely or struggling within the church, make every effort to check they're okay. As togetherness is one of the keys of moving things forward as a church. Our love for one another should be so evident to those that are outside of the church, so much so that it should be inviting to those that are unchurched. Our brotherly love for each other should be contagious. Now, when we look at my second point of tenderness, we've got to ask ourselves the question of, am I being loving towards people within the church community? Is there anything within myself that may be hindering a spirit of unity? I mean, have any of us had any disagreements with anybody else in the church? And may I make every effort to encourage you to make things right with that person? You see, when there is a lack of unity, it can seriously hinder the life of a church. So please, let's create an atmosphere of love and acceptance within us. Let's not let our differences be a problem. Let's focus on our similarities. I mean, we have all got our Saviour in common. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all on the same mission together. Now, when we look at my third point, we looked at how tremendously faithful God was, or is. He is always with His people. Whenever we gather, even in twos or threes, He will be with us also. It is by grace that people are saved. And all that we need do is to be on the Great Commission and get out there and share Jesus with those that we meet. As Rob said, if nothing is said, then no one will hear. And if nothing is done, nothing will change. Now, I feel that there are three things that we can respond to this morning. Firstly, if you are keeping yourself at a distance from the church, then God wants you to be part of the body. He has place for you here. A place where you can find love, fellowship, and true togetherness. Maybe you are in a position where you need to allow God to maintain a soft and tender heart towards your brothers and sisters. And God wants to help you with that. He wants to give you that tender heart towards those that are within the community. And thirdly, if you are not part of the church here, if you're not part of the community, or maybe you haven't given your heart to Jesus yet, then maybe this is the time. You see, like my breakfast, nothing in this world will last. Nothing else can satisfy you like Jesus can. And you too could enjoy the inexplicable joy that we have found in Jesus. So may I implore you that if you're in that position, to not leave here today without talking to someone that brought you or to somebody that you know. I will make myself available, and I know the elders will, if you want to talk. So let's just end in prayer, shall we? Yeah, Father God, I thank you for this message, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be together. Lord, that you've called us to be tender to one another and to show love and care for each other. And I thank you that you are an ever faithful God that we can call on in every need and want that we have. And Lord, I pray for all my brothers and sisters here, Lord, as they go out this week, Lord, I pray that you'll keep speaking to them through this message. Lord, that you'll help them to enjoy togetherness with one another and to show tenderness to one another. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Our vision is to make Christ the King known in Ringwood and beyond. For more information or to give feedback, please visit www.kingschurchringwood.co.uk.